Welcome to the Data Centric Podcast. I'm Steve McDowell, and I'm here with, who are you?
I think my name's Matt Kimball.
Matt Kimball, Steve McDowell. We're both from More Insights and Strategy, where we're senior analysts who cover all things data center.
All things.
This is episode two, and I've been pleasantly surprised by all the cards and letters we got on episode one. It was a big hit, Matt.
Yeah, I cried a little bit. And to William and Toledo, we love you too.
That's awesome. Hey, so it's the end of the year, and we're about to take off for a couple weeks for a well-earned holiday break. But I thought what we should do this time, Matt, is let's keep it short, but let's hit kind of the high notes. Let's not get too geeky, techie, but let's kind of hit the high notes of what we saw in 2018, right? Big trends. Mm-hmm. And maybe where we should start, because as we record this, IDC has just released their third quarter numbers for both server and storage. What did it show us about the server market?
What did it show us? So third quarter numbers were pretty crazy. Year over year, revenue growth was 37.7%, which is the fifth consecutive quarter for double-digit growth in server, which is absolutely crazy. I don't know how it's being sustained, but it's pretty amazing to watch.
So you're saying Dell and HPE both doubled their business this year?
Double-digit growth, not doubling of business.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So here's what's interesting about it, though, Stevie Ray, is when you peel back the numbers, there was strong revenue growth across the board, Dell, HPE, and others. But when you kind of double click on it, it looks like the biggest growth area were the companies that are servicing, have a good footprint, strong footprint in China. So Inspur, a little known server manufacturer in China, which is kind of a ODM-like company, if you will, 156.5% growth. Lenovo, 67% growth. And in fairness to Lenovo, they have a strong footprint in the U.S. as well. But, you know, with their ODM Plus business, they've been really going out aggressively after hyperscale, and they've always had a strong footprint in China as well. And Huawei, 75.6% growth. So, you know, far outpacing what we see in the market, you know, that 37.7%. It makes you wonder if, you know, a lot of the growth we're seeing is being fueled by growth in the hyperscalers, specifically in China.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, so I'm looking at the IDC storage numbers, and storage, you know, as a market tends to follow server a little bit, right? Because you buy servers, you buy storage. Mm-hmm. The growth in storage wasn't as great as server, which is understandable because storage, you know, has a longer life in the rack, if you will, than server does. Mm-hmm. The server-based storage market grew at 10% year over year, and the external storage systems, these are storage arrays, things like that, grew about 12.5%. But what's interesting, and I think this mirrors what you're saying about server, is the bulk of the total enterprise storage growth is heavily on China. There's if you look at the numbers, you know, no surprise, right? Dell's number one, HP's number two, NetApp's number three. But then there's a five-way tie for fourth place. And yeah. these are Inspur, who grew at a whopping 65% year over year. Wow. Let's balance that large percentage number with, it's easy to rack up big percentages when you have small numbers, right? So they grew from 1.5% to a little over 2% of the market.
Okay.
But it's Inspur, it's Lenovo, it's Huawei, it's Hitachi. All of these guys are tied for fourth place in the storage market.
And that's in revenue growth, right?
And that's in revenue growth. But what that's showing is when you look at this is driven by ASPs or the premium on flash this year, or the upgrade from hard to drive to flash, whatever. Certainly raises the ASPs. But what that's showing, if you just look at it, subtract out the numbers and just look at the kind of a heat map of where growth is, revenue or unit, right? Yeah. I think you're dead on, right? There's a lot of China here.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, and because going to the unit growth, again, you know, for server, it was about 18% year-over-year unit shipment growth. And, it, you know, that the disparity, or the, not the disparity, but the delta in revenue versus unit is because of the richer configurations. But, you know, again, leading the way, you know, Inspur 90% unit shipment growth year over year, Lenovo 28%, Huawei 41%, and other ODMs 31%. So lots of, even in, you know, even in the unit shipments, you can see these Chinese kind of centric companies having, or China centric companies having a much bigger growth trajectory than what the market grew at. So yeah, really interesting. Okay, so it'll be fun to watch 2019 and see if that keeps up.
Well, I was about to ask that question, what are we going to see for 2019? But let's save that for maybe in January we do a 2019 predictions episode.
All right.
So if I had a bell on my desk, I would ring it right now and we'd switch topics.
Ding.
I actually made notes this time so that we know what we're talking about. So, server and storage market, data center strong, right? So it's not all going to the cloud. Mm-hmm. I think, in fact, one of the trends we saw this year, and we talked a little bit about this in episode one when we wrapped up the AWS reInvent, is, you know, there was this couple of years where everything was going to the cloud, but now there's this boomerang effect where everything is coming back and sitting in kind of this demilitarized zone that we're calling hybrid cloud, to the point where, you know, you have on-prem, you have cloud, and then you have this nebulous middle space where even Amazon is starting to bring hardware onto the cloud. I'm going to merge this with another thing where we see all of the OEMs now selling some sort of capacity on demand that sits on-prem,
yeah.
Right? You look at like HP, GreenLake, Pure Storage is doing storage on demand, but hosted in your racks. Maybe a better way to say that is consumption-based model, right? But on-prem.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're seeing cloud in the data center.
Yeah.
I think that's a trend. I think a lot of activity there.
Yeah.
Do you think it's real?
I agree with you that, you know, there was this kind of irrational rush to the cloud, if you will, that happened over, you know, the last few years, where it was a cloud first mentality instead of a cloud if mentality, right? Which was, and what I mean by that is there was an assumption that if I put it out into the cloud, it was going to be easier, cheaper, more secure. And what I believe is that over the course of the last couple of years, enterprise organizations, all organizations, came to the realization that there are, in fact, instances when that works, right? It is cheaper, easier, more secure in the cloud. There are cases where it's better to have that app and that data on-prem. So, you know, while I would slightly disagree in that it was bringing everything back, there has certainly been a repatriation trend, like you said, over the last year, where, and that's where the whole hybrid movement and consumption-based delivery has started to come into play. And I think that's going to continue through 2019. And of course, we can save that for January, as you said. But it's real, right? And in that, it is that notion of all of these unintended or unexpected costs or cost curves that weren't initially accounted for. And I think that's going to aid HPE, Dell, Lenovo, and others in the coming years to, from an enterprise perspective, and maintaining that footprint within those enterprises.
It's definitely going to benefit the full stack players, right? For sure. And you know, cloud is pervasive now, right? As we talk about this in 2018, but you know, contextually, it's still a very new kind of data center model, right? It's only a few years old. And I think what we're going through now is, you know, crawl, walk, run kind of approach to what does my data center architecture look like. And we're going to do all sorts of experiments, right, as we kind of find our footing as an industry.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think to a lot of people who have been around cloud and even virtualization as a precursor to cloud, mm-hmm. it feels like we're already in the run phase because we've been around it. It's almost like we're cloud weary. But you know, when you, I think, but to what you said, when you look at it contextually, we're still somewhere between crawling and walking with cloud adoption and cloud utilization. And this is definitely going to shake out into, and I think we mentioned this in our last podcast, you can listen to it on demand. But I think this plays into, you know, that whole, what is the end state of, you know, the future data center look like? And it's not necessarily cloud versus on-prem versus edge versus fog versus, you know, autonomous versus other things. It's kind of all of it. And, you know, we're not even close to being there yet.
No, but what we're doing now, I think we're at the stage now where, you know, the core technologies are all in place. And now it's a question of how do I harness that, right? Back in the 90s, our Sun had this whole, you know, grid computing thing where everything is, you know, compute is a utility, storage is a utility. And I think we're fast approaching that world. But the question is, how do I manage it, right? And you talked about cloud being the natural evolution of virtualization. And I think that's right, right? I think the big winners here, and this is, I don't want to call it a trend, but I think a lot of experiment, a lot of traction right now around, you know, is it containers? Is it VM? All of these things, you know, they do the same thing. They abstract my workload, right, to various degrees. So, you know, the big winners, you know, yeah, we're going to sell a lot of hardware from the big three. But I think VMware, right, is going to be a huge winner. If you look at what Amazon is doing with their on-prem stuff and even how they're embracing VMware on AWS. And, you know, I think VMware is vying to be the control plane for how you manage your workloads, regardless of where they are.
So who are the disruptors, though? Because, you know, it almost, VMware is reaching what I would, in the data centers, kind of what I would think about Microsoft in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? That kind of pervasive presence within the data center and all things, you know, let's call the hypervisor the new OS, right? But all things kind of server and OS management level, you know, who's the new VMware? Who's going to come in and be disruptive and challenge and kind of bring some, you know, maybe bring some balance
I think there's a lot of challenges, right? And I like your analogy, right? I think VMware is very much like Microsoft was around 2000. But they're ripe for disruption just as Microsoft was, right? You know, Nutanix is certainly trying to leverage their start in HCI and expand that outward. You're seeing stuff from Dell and HPE also, right? Where they want to be your control plane. The problem with their solutions, or not problem, but the challenge of their solutions is, you know, they're largely vendor specific, right? It's ideal if I have a predominantly HPE environment, I can manage that with HPE tools. If you look at it, who's really trying to go broad, you know, it's VMware and it's Nutanix and, you know, maybe a handful of startups who we're not aware of yet.
I agree with you on the Nutanix. You know, they have, you know, you and I went to their .next conference, back in May or, you know, in the early summer, late spring. And there was an energy at that conference that I hadn't seen in a really, really long time. And not only, but so forget about just energy, right? There are announcements they're making. There are visions that they have that squarely go after, you know, the entrenched incumbent who is, you know, VMware at this point. And with their Xi Cloud and kind of their cloud services strategy, you know, the vision is good. You know, execution is another thing, but the vision is good, and it really does seem to take aim at disrupting, you know, this kind of this beautiful market that VMware has built.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I know we tweeted about it. I don't know if we wrote about it at the time, but we went to the Nutanix conference, and it's unusual. And I know we're jaded because you and I, you know, we do 15 conferences a year. But it's extremely unusual to see almost kind of a religious fervor of a user base for an enterprise technology, right? I haven't played with Nutanix hands-on a lot, right? I've run their demo and, you know, got a feel for what they do. But what that says is that the guys that are deploying Nutanix technology really love what they're doing, right? And I don't know if that's ease of use. I don't know if that's performance. I don't know if that's TCO, whatever. And we should go deeper on this maybe as, you know, in our day job as analysts. But there's something about Nutanix that people really love. What I'm having a hard time gauging is how is that traction scaling from kind of the early adopters in the HCI world, which leads into, I'm trying to label our trends that we're talking about here. So I hit my virtual ding button, it's kind of related to cloud, hybrid cloud, which is, HCI had a good run. It's still growing, but it's morphing into something bigger, right? It's turning into a real trend, I think, around, and, every vendor has a different name, but converged infrastructure, composable, Dell's Data Fabric, Nutanix's, whatever, which is a little more hardware agnostic. But I think there's a trend here over let's treat all of our compute, storage, and networking resources as Lego blocks, right? That we can dynamically reconfigure. I think that was a trend this year. I don't know if you agree.
Well, and that ties back to the whole Sun vision back in the 90s of grid-based computing, right? Utility-based computing. It's these, you're right, these become Lego blocks that I assemble together to provide services out. And it also ties back to what we talked about in our previous podcast, Available on Demand. It also ties back to that vision of, IT folks, and I know the word digital transformation is way overplayed. I get that. People like you and I who talk about it every day are sick of saying those words and sick of hearing those words. But as organizations do move into a digitally transformed state, IT organizations that are supporting those businesses have a lot more to do, and they have to be far more progressive. So this nature or this notion of being able to take these Lego blocks, assemble them together, and quickly turn on services for my business units, it's invaluable. And I think that's why there's a religious fervor around, like you said, a religious-like fervor around companies like Nutanix or the services that they bring out with HCI or CI or others, right? Because it's that it gets them closer to that, providing IaaS or PaaS-like services from within the organization, and being able to focus on, on what's coming next.
Okay. So Steve. No, go ahead, Maddie.
So question for you, Stevie. Uh-huh. Talking earlier about, consumption-based services that are being provided out there, like, a GreenLake from HPE. How do you think the cloud providers view that? Because eventually what you're going to get to is, and you see this through starting to evolve through GreenLake and OneSphere and other offerings out there, is almost a cloud brokering, right? And it's true utility at that point. Who has the cheapest rates for the workload I'm running today? And do they stay here today and move tomorrow? And, how do you think the AWSs and the Azures kind of?
Well, I think you saw it at reInvent last month. Amazon moving on-prem. What's their service called that's bringing it on-prem?
Outpost.
Yeah, so Amazon Outpost, I think, is a direct reaction to the threat that the OEMs are positioning in that space. Amazon is deploying their own, their own servers on-prem, right? These are, we talk about hyperscaler, that's these servers, soon to be with an ARM-powered chip built by Amazon, fabbed wherever they're fabbing them. So I think there's going to be a war in that middle section for who owns that footprint. And if the ultimate architecture really is, I have some cold, warm processing up in the cloud, and the hot stuff is local, and everything else is in the middle. It's going to be about who can provide a consistent experience that bridges those things, right? And I think Amazon with VMware is saying we can do that. It's early days. I don't love any of the hybrid cloud solutions that people are putting out there right now. But how did the cloud providers react? I think they're going to push down into the data center.
I think I agree with you on all of that. I think the one will be fun to watch over the next few years is as Amazon starts to get some momentum with Outpost and You know, you've got Azure Stack that is, you know, different instantiation, if you will, of hybrid cloud than what Amazon is looking to do. Is the, and we talked a little bit about utility computing, and which leads one to believe that, well, maybe it's almost commoditized, right? But I think, I believe that despite all of this, Dell EMC, HPE, Lenovo, and the other players in this space still have a very strong presence within the enterprise. I don't think this turns into commodity such that, you know, you don't care about what servers are being deployed in your data center, because there is still a lot of value and differentiation that these companies bring through security, through optimized performance, through, you know, tailored SKUs that are fine-tuned for specific workloads. So I don't see the OEM presence going away in the data center by any means. I think, you know, you've seen, you talk about trends, I think 2018, you've certainly seen maybe the volume turned up a little bit on the software services that the OEM partners bring out to the marketplace. But I think that hardware is equally valuable to an enterprise customer for the long term.
So I agree with everything you said, Matt. I don't know that Amazon agrees with that. I think what Amazon is doing is pushing hardware down. And with Outpost, it's an interesting name, right? Because that's Amazon's outpost into the data center. You know, they have aspirations to be, you know, they want to own your stack top to bottom. And I think they believe that they can bring efficiencies of scale, and it won't be long before they're competing against the OEMs for rack units in a mainstream data center with the value prop that says, you know, build this thing for whatever your favorite container is, and you can run it and seamlessly migrate it up and down. I think that's their play, but I think you're also right. If you look at what Amazon is actually delivering, it's a lot of technology components without sort of the unifying enterprise vision that the OEMs are bringing to the table and have been for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah. And I hear you, and I wholeheartedly agree with you that the vision of Amazon longer term is exactly that, right? Put Amazon hardware down in the data center as you're right. And you're right about the name, as its outpost into the data center. What I see kind of unfolding is, as Amazon starts to make this movement, they realize the value and they realize the importance of partnering with the hardware vendors that have had a long presence within that enterprise IT organization. And you start to see potentially different flavors of Outpost based on the enterprise environment, right? So Outpost, you see an Amazon Dell EMC partnership, an Amazon HPE partnership, and an Amazon only, you know, maybe it's Amazon branded hardware offering. And I think that continues through at least the medium term, because, you know, again, there's, to what you said, there's this value that that the OEM brings, that a Dell EMC, an HPE, a Lenovo brings from a manageability, from a support perspective that Amazon just is not ready to provide yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we're talking a lot about Amazon, but I think as we talk about cloud technologies pushing into the data center, right, we should talk more about Microsoft Azure with Azure Stack. So, you know, Azure's not dominating cloud services, but they understand enterprise compute, right? And they're not threatening the OEMs. You know, I don't know what the adoption of Azure Stack is, but if I were looking for that sort of an architecture and I were an enterprise, right, I'm going to go with somebody with an enterprise pedigree. I think Amazon still needs to go build that. Amazon gets cloud for sure, but enterprise data center is kind of a whole different thing.
Isn't it funny that we would be kind of looking at Microsoft in a dark horse-ish kind of way in the enterprise, right? I mean, how times have changed, my friend.
Well, for sure, right? But Microsoft, you know, I love their new direction, right? It's not about Windows. It's about how do I solve your enterprise problem, and how they've embraced and interoperate now with Linux, which is, you know, the dominant server OS. and how they're embracing containers and Kubernetes and all of these non-Microsoft technologies, right? This is not the Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, Microsoft.
No, and it's funny because if as you talk about trends in 2018, to me this is a trend that started before 2018, but certainly gained velocity in 2018, and that is Microsoft's pivot within the data center, right? From shipping Windows Server, shipping SQL Server, shipping these data center products into turning into a data center company. It's a completely different company than it was even 5 years ago.
Oh, for sure. Right. The pivot has been incredible. And we don't talk enough about it, right? People tend to take Microsoft for granted. And even us old time technology guys, we tend to, we're still tainted by Microsoft of 15 or 20 years ago. But what they're doing now, and that's not fair to them, right? Because what they're doing now is it's impressive. And let's not count them out in stack and in cloud. Amazon dominates cloud, but I think, as I said before, as we start to blend what happens in the data center with what happens in the cloud, it's going to be these guys with enterprise legacy. It's not going to be necessarily, I'm not saying AWS gets overtaken, but I think IBM's stock, if you will, rises in cloud and hybrid cloud. I don't know that Google has a play there. I don't know who they target their cloud towards, but it's for the enterprise, it's going to be, Microsoft's going to become more of a player.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you. And, you've seen incredible growth from them over the last, few quarters with Azure, which is kind of lays proof to that. But I wholeheartedly agree that, as hybrid starts to kind of come into clarity a little bit more, and it's not just a buzz term, but it really, hybrid cloud really becomes reality within the data center. I think what they're doing with Azure Stack and its neutral approach to hardware, right? Partner with everybody, is going to serve them well. And their footprint within the enterprise today is certainly going to, and it has, it's helped out considerably, and it's going to continue to benefit Microsoft with pushing Azure services. So, and you're right. I mean, they do get overlooked. Now it is all about AWS, and AWS spends a week and wows the entire world with, 5,000 announcements, which are all very compelling and interesting. And I have no doubt that they will achieve them. But Microsoft seems to quietly be, chipping away and quietly creating its own place in the market with Azure and Azure Stack.
What are we missing? Anything else from 2018 trends that we should mention, or should we wrap this up?
I think the last thing, and because I'm and you are too, but because we're processor guys, I think 2018 was interesting from a processor technology as well, processor technology perspective as well. You saw, ARM at TechCon announced the launch of Neoverse and, the products that are going to be part of that family, which seem to be very, from a power performance perspective, seem to be very compelling. The question is going to be, longer term, whether they can drive that strategy of, kind of trillion devices to the edge, to the data center, which I think they certainly can build on. You saw, Epic from AMD start to gain some momentum, albeit in the, it seems like primarily in the CSP space and the big CSP space. It'll be interesting to see with Rome if in 2019, if they can take that and bring it down into and gain some significant traction in the enterprise. And Intel, just in their recent announcement, 2018 was supposed to be where AMD, gained significant market share on Intel, and Intel started to lose its grip. The market grew faster, I think, than anybody anticipated. Intel still has a very strong position, and boy, what they announced at their analyst summit around their 10 nanometer and beyond roadmap and vision is impressive. It almost feels like a startup mentality as you walk the halls of Santa Clara. So, it's semiconductor can be kind of boring, the CPU space, but I think it's going to be really interesting to watch this evolve over not just 2019, but 2020 and 2021. And it'll be fun to see all of the the innovation that Intel seems to be bringing back into the market.
Completely agree. And I think, you know, we should just do a show on what's happening in that space. Cause I was excited. I didn't go to the architecture day. I know you did this week. Yeah. But you know, heterogeneous CPUs, the memory bus is about to become a competitive differentiator, right? Optane, you know, it requires tweaks to your memory bus. AMD can't go there, and Intel's the sole supplier of Optane. Yeah. They're doing things with memory.
Yeah.
You know, how we handle AI and machine learning, whether it's the inference engines or training on GPU versus Xeon. Yeah. You know, forget ARM. It's how do we manage all this AI stuff?
Yeah.
But at the same time, ARM is putting all this inference stuff in their processors as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not about mainstream application performance now. It's about all of these other kind of accelerators, which the industry's been, you know, pinging around for a long time. I know you and I were at AMD and we, you know, talked a lot about application accelerators as, anyway.
Well, but that's where it gets fun too, right? Because I think the mainstream stuff is kind of a given now. And if you're going to spend your days trying to win that market, you're kind of missing the boat, right? Because I, as an enterprise IT director, architect, I look at what my most demanding compute needs are, and everything else cascades off that. So,
absolutely,
right? The company that can win. Yeah.
Let's defer this, man, because now we're talking about future trends.
Sorry, Steve.
And we're coming up on 30 minutes. So let's
fair enough.
Let's end this thing. It's been another entertaining podcast with Matt and Steve.
It has been fun, Steve. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me this week.
No problem. So you could follow us on wherever you find podcasts.
Follow us on podcast, follow us on Twitter, follow us on LinkedIn and everywhere else.
Right. If you're listening to this, then you have access to the show notes. All our contact is there. So we're going to take a break for the holidays, well-earned, and then let's kick back up in January. Maybe we'll start off with a predictions piece.
Love it.
Should be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
All right, man. See you next time.
See you, Stevie.